God's gift to us is the gift that He gives us, and our gift to God is what we do with our gifts.
And I want to live my life with people that get up every morning at the gates of hell and drink their coffee. You know, Jesus said this, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail."
Pastor Brian Gibson.
Oh, my goodness. Get ready, guys, because today I'm going to have Brother Brian Gibson. He's going to be right there with me and you here today. Guys, welcome. I'm Pastor Troy Brewer, and for the thousands of people that have joined us this month across our social media, I want to say welcome, man. I'm glad that you cats are here with us. Who are you? I'm just a Yahoo from Johnson County, Texas. I actually live in Somerville County now. Been in ministry for 40 years. We've rescued over 12,500 children out of sexual slavery. And friends, we're just getting started. We've had the biggest week we've ever had over the past 2 weeks. And even right now, our teams are in San Antonio, Texas, trying to rescue a 12-year-old little girl. Wow. I got lots and lots of things to update you on. I got lots of things to tell you about. And then I'm going to have Brian Gibson. And if you guys think I'm a troublemaker, and I am, I'm a Holy Ghost troublemaker. I'm supposed to be. Hey, man, my last name's Brewer. And that's one of the, it means somebody that makes alcohol. That's true. I come from a long line of that, too. But I also come from a long line of troublemakers. And I think I'm probably the cream of the crop, as in storms brewing on the whole. I'm always brewing something up, always. And so I'm so happy that you're in this fight with me, and I want to say welcome to you. One of the first things I want to tell you is that we have a prayer, international prayer calling center here in Burleson, Texas. And the number is on the screen. And there is a beautiful lady, a sister to me, that her name is Tia, and she's over there running the show. That whole room is full of boys and girls, mostly girls, that are answering the phones. They're ready to pray for you. They're ready to talk to you. And if you need a friend, if you need a prayer, if you need information about what we do or how we do it, if you want to partner with us and get in this fight and help us not only rescue these kids but actually raise them, man, help us with that, because it is a money pit and it takes a lot of partnership. But that's okay, man. We're doing it. So we're keeping up, guys. We're keeping up. We're doing it. Hallelujah. Guys, this is episode number 152, and we're going to be talking with Pastor Brian Gibson here within just the next few minutes. I'm going to be bringing him on. But first, I want to introduce Miss Shay Wilbur. How are you doing, Ladybug?
I'm great today.
Yeah, you seem like you're having a good day today.
I am.
Yeah.
I am.
You were mad at me when I first came in today.
I got a bad vibe. He's not telling the truth, guys. Don't listen to him. No, I was not mad at all. I'm just ready. I feel very expectant this week. I feel like that's the word. It's like we're experiencing many transitions, and God is leading us through those. And I'm just expectant of what He's going to do.
Man, things are changing so much. And honestly, man, the doors that God has opened up for us in Washington, D.C., and being a part of all those things. And I've been invited into some amazing rooms and invited to be a part of some amazing teams. And we can actually, and there's that. And then the new work that we're doing in the Dominican Republic, which I did not see coming. I actually had a guy ask me, there's a pastor friend of ours, and his name's Pastor Frank. And I think his church is in Georgia. I think it is. You guys know Pastor Frank?
Pastor Frank, yeah.
And so, man, we love him. His church partners with us, like a lot of churches do, and they help us. He's an extraordinary human being. But he asked me, "Hey, man, do you do anything in the Dominican Republic?" And he's wildly prophetic.
No way.
And I was like, "No, man, no." And I told him, "I'm not interested either. I've got enough. We're in enough countries, and I got more than I know what to do with." And he goes, "What? Man, you got to start doing something in the Dominican, man." And I was like, "Okay, thank you." And then, boom, here we are just a few months later. And we're doing this big work. And I put on there that we rescued 76 kids. And I was just reading the graphic, and that's not true. They weren't all kids. A lot of those people are actually adults. Not that they don't need rescuing too. So here's the deal. We rescued 76 slaves, okay? Mm-hmm. And some of those were indeed kids.
Yeah.
And that's the right way to say that. They actually called me and said, "Hey, you need to tell everybody that those weren't all kids," which I like that. That does not offend me. Like, yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Praise God. So anyway, but yeah, they're not always kids that we rescued, but I want to tell you, man, 20-year-olds need to be rescued as well. And so, you know, 25-year-olds need to be rescued. Like, well, how many 30 and 40-year-olds? They don't live to be 30 and 40 years old. If they're slaves, they don't live that long.
And a lot of these people have been slaves since they were children.
That's exactly
right. So that's like the fact that this, oh, that's, it's not that one, Taylor. It's the one I just sent you. That's the old one. I just said
Do you see how it says kids on there?
Yeah.
That's,
the new
that's
one
what
says,
we're saying we're not going to show anymore. And so, of course, we put it up
on the screen. It's okay. He wasn't here yesterday. I just sent him the new one. Yeah. So he had it.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of these, the reality is, like, for example, the one girl that we got from one of our recent busts, she said she thinks she's 18.
Yeah.
But she doesn't know. And she's been trafficked since she was a baby, since she was little. She's been in the care of these people, I think, since she was maybe 13. But so even to me, when we rescue adults, that's in a lot of ways that breaks your heart just as much, because I'm like, if they're an adult now, how long
and how many babies have they had?
Exactly.
It's
how
a lot
long
like
have
the,
they been in it?
Yep. So I mean, and yeah, you can show that, buddy. You're welcome to. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
So there you go. So this was last week, guys. We rescued 68 in the Dominican Republic. We rescued 33 in Cambodia, 2 in Texas, 2 in Mexico, and then on Sunday, guys, we rescued 8 more in the Dominican Republic. So a total of 76 in the Dominican Republic. That's way over 100 people we rescued last week just in one single week. Now comes the hard work. Now we got to house them.
Mm-hmm.
And now we got to take care of them. Now we got to protect them from the systems of this world that they are meant to be sent into, and let the body of Jesus actually intervene and go, no, we can do better than that. And church, we can do better than that. Whatever your denomination is, whether you're pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, whether you sprinkle people on top of their heads or you dunk them all the way in, if you practice Shabbat or if you don't practice Shabbat, here's what I'm going to tell you. We can be united with Jesus as our Lord and actually do the kingdom stuff and bring justice for these kids and for these rescued slaves, and then raise them, all of them, in the admonition of the Lord, see them saved and healed in every way a person can be saved and every way a person can be healed. So go to troybrewer.com. And if you're a snail mail guy and like, dude, I'm gonna actually support this thing. I'm gonna do this thing. Mm-hmm. And if you're like me and you don't trust all the Chinamen that are on the internet and you're like, there's some dang Chinaman or some crazy Russian that's gonna be stealing my stuff on the internet, you can actually send a check in to Troy Brewer Ministries at P.O. Box 3775, Burleson, Texas, 76097. Okay. Well, I noticed that there's lots of people here from all over the planet Earth.
Yes,
who wants
Pastor.
To go?
So we have Charles Jones from Cleburne, right here.
Cleburne!
We have Canada, Adele from Canada. We have Erica Miller from Indiana. We have Judith from New York. We have Oregon, Holly from Oregon. We have, I can't read this thing really short on here. We have people from all over the world tuning in. Thank you so much for tuning in today. You can, we would encourage you to comment, share, and like. And when you do that, I love what we say in-house, that you are being a media missionary. People are still tuning in from all over the world. Rosemary, please let us know where you're from. And don't forget that today's show could be somebody's word, or they might be needing prayer, and it could change their lives forever. So we want to encourage you, click all the buttons, the hearts. We love the hearts. We love the little ring on YouTube. And let's be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Look at this. I see Revival Nation. That would be Pastor Alan DeDio.
Oh, we have Canada.
Pastor Alan, we love you, man. We love you, brother. We bless you in Jesus' name. If you guys do not know Revival Nation on YouTube, go there, look him up, be a part of that man's ministry. He supports our ministry. We support his ministry. We partner together. We're brothers. We're friends. We're like-minded. Brothers in a fight. Mm-hmm. Check out his stuff. I just got a word from Joseph Z a while ago, and he said he just got through interviewing Victor Marx.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, Troy, we were talking about you. And he goes, man, I know Troy. He's down there in Texas. I've seen his stuff. And boy, I was like, if I got a chance to speak to Victor Marx, I'd start squealing like a little girl. I'd be like, hey, because I love Victor Marx, man. I love that dude. May he be the next governor of Colorado. May he be the next governor in Jesus' name.
We got George from Uganda, East Africa.
Aww,
Pastor
George.
Troy, we miss you. Can't wait for you to visit.
I'm supposed to be in Uganda this week, and George is my son. He's one of my Ugandan sons. George, you're my favorite. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell my other sons, okay? But it's obvious. And by the way, ladies, he's single. The brother's single.
Okay.
And listen, man. Yeah, you do got to be called to Africa because he is straight up Ugandan. But I'm going to tell you right now, he's the king of Uganda. He should be the king of Uganda. And anyway, he's the guy that takes care of me and hangs out with me the whole time. I'm sorry I'm not with you, son. I love you, and I'll be with you as soon as I can. And I can't wait to see you. I miss you. All right, good job. We also have with us today our youth pastor here that does our student ministry is one of my favorite human beings on the planet Earth. Aww. Pastor Ryan Warren is here today.
Good afternoon, everybody. Everybody paying attention. God's doing a lot, revealing a lot, and I'm happy to have a front row seat to it.
Well, for about the next 45 minutes, we're going to be talking with us and with Pastor Brian Gibson. I'm about to bring him on. We will not be going behind the veil today because at 2 o'clock, I'm going to be on somebody else's show. Whose show am I going to be on?
Unclassified.
Unclassified. Yeah. Where do you find that at?
That's at on Victory.
It's on
Victory.
It's
part of the Kenneth Copeland organization, all their ministries there.
So that's going to be at 2 o'clock today. So y'all pray that I don't mess that up.
You're a pro.
You're not.
You're pretty good on the spot.
Okay.
Thanks, man. Exactly. Thanks. All right. Okay, guys, I'd like to introduce to you one of my dear friends. Again, the Lord has put together this brotherhood that I have of close friends that are in ministry. And we talk to each other virtually every single day. We leave each other voice texts. We pray for each other. And this cat sends me this prophetic word all the time. And every time he sends me a prophetic word, it's right on. I want to tell you, he gave me a wild prophetic word in January here of this year. He goes, brother, when I saw you walk around that corner right there, I saw a much skinnier you, man. You're about to start losing a bunch of... Now, mind you, this is a fat prophet talking to another fat
that
brother.
That is not true. And
what? Look at these girls. They're appalled. Look at their faces. Put them on.
Is he laughing?
Put them on here. Look at the girls are so embarrassed. And so I'm like, I received that word. And I'm not kidding you. Immediately, I had a grace to lose weight.
You did.
And you conformed your life to it.
I did conform my life to it.
I prefer plus size profit.
Oh, my God.
That's the way we're saying it these days. Plus size profit.
These girls are so embarrassed. I just said that they don't know how we hang.
They don't know you're from Texas.
That's exactly right, man. Bro, you prophesied that to me, and dude, I've lost 45 pounds since then.
Let's go.
Come on, man.
You look good.
Don't I?
I'll tell you what.
Listen, I want you to know, and I'm just going to be. I'm confessing my heart. I'm strangely attracted to you as well.
All right.
And you're safe. Listen, you're safe. Okay? I fear the Lord, but I don't mind telling you.
Oh, my God.
Praise the Lord. That's going to help us on the internet a lot.
Isn't that going to help?
You just said that's going to help a lot.
Isn't that wonderful?
Listen, man, I was stirred up. Just might get behind you guys now.
Listen, exactly right.
I don't want him anywhere behind me, but
I'll say this. Tell Rico.
You look good.
Thanks,
man. You look good, man. And I've been inspired. I prophesied you skinny. I'm becoming their fat friend. And I'm like,
you're becoming the fat friend. Okay.
I'm not going to be their fat friend. So I got after it. I'm down 32 pounds.
Whoa.
But I'm down 32 pounds of fat on one of those Yume scales. And I've gained like 27 pounds of muscle.
Uh oh. Watch out.
I'm getting after it.
That's baloney, is what that
I'm
is.
I'm getting in my fight. I'm getting down to fighting.
You've
fighting
tweaked weight. That machine somehow.
You look Chinese, awesome, brother. Manipulators. Thank you. Same to you.
Man, I love you, and I'm proud of you. Man, I've been watching all of your stuff, as I always do. Number one, you had a huge miracle happen because the fire came right up to your house. You haven't been able to show the pictures for security reasons because people want to kill you. And which is true. And you know what? To hell with those devils. But nonetheless, you live out in the middle of nowhere, so you haven't been able to show the pictures, but the fire literally came right up to your house. Tell us about that miracle.
No, this is crazy. It was rededicate 250, Pastor Troy, the Sunday. Everybody went up to the mall, and I didn't go to that when I'd been up there at the White House for a prayer meeting the week before. And I said, man, I'm going to rededicate with our folk right here in Amarillo. So I preached rededicate, and God spoke to me on Saturday, and he said, Brian, have all the people rededicate their homes unto the Lord, and have them read the 23rd Psalm, have them read the Lord's Prayer, and have them read, as for me and my house will serve the Lord, out of Joshua.
You gotta be kidding.
And so that was Sunday, so I go home, take a nap. This fire starts up there in West Texas, which I'm not going to call it fire country. Come on, we call it the garden spot of the earth in Jesus' name, but you know what it is. And this fire comes up, we have to evacuate. So I come out of my nap, me and Jesse kids all have to evacuate the house. We leave. They think they got this fire out about 10 o'clock, and we come back. We go to bed. Jesse wakes me up, says, Brian, hey, you told everybody to rededicate their houses, and we haven't done it. We haven't practiced what we preach. We got to do this. We're the preachers. So I get all the kids up. They're all tired. You know how much a teenager wants to get up and have a prayer meeting after he's went to bed after a full day of church? Mm. They're like, they're snarling at me.
Of course.
They're like, Dad, our house is dedicated to the Lord. I'm like, shut up, kid. Yeah, we're going to dedicate the house. Get up. Here. Come on. Pray in tongues right now. Exactly, you know, we're going to do it. So we rededicate the house. And about 1 o'clock that morning, I still wasn't settled in my spirit. I got a buddy's built the largest church house in the state of Alaska. And he had this Arctic hurricane. Came after Wasilla, Alaska, and he got out there in the wind doing this Gandalf the Gray, you shall not pass, you know,
all
this kind of thing.
Not going to pass.
He stopped it. But I was laying in bed, and I could see him doing that. God said, get up and anoint your house with oil. And I went out one in the morning and anointed the whole yard of my house, the boundary of the yard.
Come on.
The next day, I'm down in Dallas, and I get a call. And, man, the fire is consumed all the way around our house, burnt five of my neighbors' houses.
Oh, no.
Downwind got 52 houses.
No way.
And, but I'm telling you what happened. There is a perfect line, Pastor Troy, around my yard.
I've seen it. I've seen it. You sent me the pictures. I've seen it.
I mean, you can see the drones. It's burnt right up all the way, a perfect circle around my house. And come on, Jesus stood up. That's his property.
Wow. Let's
dedicated unto the Lord. And he said, you won't come past this line. So
let's go.
Just a miracle, man. And I've seen God's hand in the elements, right? The book of James talks about our Elijah kind of faith.
Yep.
Where we can shut the heavens and we can open them up. And I've seen so many fire miracles now that'll just blow your mind. And even the firefighters, we showed up. They said, Pastor, you don't understand what a miracle is. Your house is still standing. Mm-hmm. Come on, God will protect yours. God will take care of your family.
God
will take care of your children. God will take care of your grandchildren. God will take care of your livestock, whatever it is. If it's yours and you're a covenant man or woman, come on, that's God's property.
Amen.
So come on, we're thankful. I just want to thank the Holy Ghost for what he did. He's been too good to my people.
Last year, we had a big fire come out to Redemption Ranch. That was threatening our high fence out there with hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of animals out there. And it was a raging monster firestorm. And we went out there, the elders showed up, we poured oil all over that place. I run out of olive oil, but you know, it's a 700 something acre place. I ran out of olive oil and I went and got Crisco. I found anything I could find that was oil based. And we drove around that property putting oil all over everything and motor oil, everything, and calling it holy and said, we're doing this. This is a prophetic act. We understand the power of a prophetic act. We know the power of the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
Jesus is here. And that fire came right up to us, went around us, and then kept right on going. We didn't have a blade burned on our property.
And come on, so, you'll walk through the fire and not be burnt.
That's right.
Amen. That's a promise. Amen?
It's a good one, buddy.
You know, I got another mentor, Dr. James Morocco out of Maui. Morocco's got like 1,000, one church in 1,000 locations. He's a disciple of Dr. Cho, been a big influence in my life in the 70s now. But that Maui fire burnt right up to his property and the same thing. It's like
of
God came up and said, you're not touching my men's place. And just stopped it right there.
That's fascinating. There's been two times in the past 40 years, I've had a tornado hit my house two times, okay? One was the first year I was married, and Leanna was in the house. And the tornado, which was probably, I'm going to say it was at least a F3, I would say something like that. And the reason I know that is because it threw a piece of a train into my yard.
What?
Yeah, and the train track was like a mile away. It was powerful enough to literally pick up a dadgum boxcar. And the boxcar, it threw, you know, the big giant monster buckle things, you know, that's on those things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That thing, and I mean, that thing weighed thousands and thousands of pounds, and it landed right in my yard, feet within my house. And Leanna was inside the house. And I mean, it was so big, even with my tractor, I couldn't move it. So we used it. We put flowers in it and started planting flowers in it. But that tornado was coming. Leanna was there in the house. There were some other friends that were actually inside the house. That thing, and you could see the perfect path, and it bounced right over our house, and then it made a path in the dirt. And you could see, brother, I had a whole bunch of Kianina cows back then, and you could see where it stampeded the herd, and then you could see where they were drugged, and then they were off to see the wizard. We never saw them again. Sure. They were off the property. They were gone, and they were scattered into billions of pieces. And but you could see the path on the ground where it was destroying the ground about less than 50 yards away, maybe 70 yards away, I'd say. You can just see it just the path goes like this, and it just disappears. And then, boom, it hit the path again. It made it's a right path back. Right on the other side of our house.
Yeah, and then, God's sovereign over the elements and the voice of the prophets.
That's right.
You got more power than a storm.
Come
you
on.
Got more power than a fire. You got more power than any of that. We had the same thing in 2002. I was raised in a barn. People are like, were you raised in a barn? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, actually, as a matter of fact.
In the stockyards, right? I grew up in the stockyards. But I was graduating from ORU. I was in 2002, and this tornado did the same thing to my mom's house, right? And so it went on a straight mile forever, and then when it came to the house, and of course, we were praying in faith and believing God for the thing turned on a perfect turn and Come missed on. The house. Now, it went down and hit our stockyards, did the same thing.
Yep.
It looked like an atomic bomb went off, cattle. Yep. Thank God it was on a Monday, and we sell them all by Saturday, right? So it was on a Sunday afternoon, so it wasn't full, but there was still, I don't know, maybe 100 head around there, and they were scattered to kingdoms come, and you'd see them, you know, with two-by-fours sticking out of their sides and stuff. So what a mess to clean up, but God protected our home and our people.
I want to tell you one of the things that happened on that one. There was a stock pond about a quarter mile away from us. It rained 10,000 fish onto my property. And so then what happened was they all died, and then it rotted, and it stank. Every kind of critter you can imagine from all four corners of the county came to my property, and I went on a hunting spree, man, that you wouldn't believe.
It was a fish fry at Brewer's house for all the county. I mean, that's a sign of the harvest and the souls that are to come.
Come on, brother.
And so I know you don't want the stink or you don't want the critters.
But it goes with
I'm
it.
I'm telling you.
It goes with the harvest.
Listen, you don't have a harvest without stinking critters.
That's right.
And we deal with that every day. But that's a sign of the Lord of to what was to come in your life that you're stepping into now. And that's even getting bigger. There's bigger catches. And there's even whales that are headed your way now. I see them very clear in the spirit.
I receive it.
And the favor that you have in D.C. is expanding now throughout the Northeast. I see it in New York. I see something in the city of Baltimore, too, where there's a favor coming to you. And really, you're going to a level, and it's like a whole new season is written. There's been transition. There's been change. There's even been some tough things. And there's been some things that didn't come out the way you thought they would. I thought it would go this way. But now it goes this way, says the Lord. But God says, my favor was not over here. My favor's over there. And Troy Brewer is my friend, and I'll take him to my favor. Mm. And in that place of favor, there'll be no lack. There'll be grace. There'll be a fight. But I've equipped him for the battle. God is with you, preacher. I'm telling you.
Jesus'
mighty name.
Jesus. Jesus, I receive that word, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, sir. I trust you, Jesus. I love you, sir. Thank you, God, for being my friend. Thank you, Lord. Let it be in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, you know what? I saw Joseph Z is watching, too. Can you believe that cat's watching?
Come on. What's up, Z? I love the prophet. My prophet.
I know. I love Joseph, too. I absolutely love him. I watch him virtually every day.
Well, we got the band back together.
I know.
You got Didio on here. You got Z on here. Come on. We ought to just have a revival.
It's crazy cool, man. Boys are back in town. Let's go, man. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do over the next 30 minutes. We're going to go through Psalms 23. Okay?
All right.
So anytime in the future, beginning with you today here, Pastor Brian Gibson, great man of God that I love with all my heart, brave, brave, brave dude. And I love your bravery. I want to be brave every time I'm around you. I want to be more prophetic every time I'm around you. I love your dynamic between you and your wife. It's just like Alan and his bride, and just like Joseph and his bride. I love the dynamic. You know, whenever you came over, I was like, oh, I see who the brains of this operation is. Yeah. I was like, I see. I understand. Like, wowzers. You know, right here, my sister who's here with me, I'm not going to tell you because it's personal, but she got healed on the spot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She got healed on the spot. And I'm sure you remember that. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah, I do.
And so, man, the Lord healed her on the spot of something that was really ailing her. Mm-hmm. And God Almighty healed her in that moment.
Yep.
And anyway, I love you and I love your ministry. We were talking about Psalms 23, and I was like, you know what? We need to go through Psalms 23 And I'm going to do this every time from now on. When I got a guy your caliber with me, we're going to go to some world-famous scripture.
I love
it. We're going to go through it and go, I want to hear your take. I want to give my take. And let's go through this and let's help everybody that's watching. So you want to do that with me?
Yeah. You know what's crazy, Pastor Troy?
What?
Last night I wrote a sermon. Guess what passage it's out of?
You got to be kidding me.
No, Psalm 23. And I'll tell you what, my nephew, I flew in this morning from Kentucky, 3 a.m., but I was over at his house last night. I'm in Texas now. But he turned around and I talked about people that leave and don't stay in churches. Yeah. And he turned around and he said, they call me Uncle Buck from the old John Candy show because I was wild when he was a kid.
Yeah.
So I'm Uncle Buck. He said, Uncle Buck. He said, you guys as shepherds, y'all would cull and watch the genetics of your herds, just like a modern herdsman would in the spirit. And he's like, for what reasons? And the thought hit my mind, for what reasons would you want to protect the bloodline of your flocks? And I started studying every disease that modern day shepherds remove and sort certain animals out of the flock.
Wow.
To keep it from spreading through. So I got a list of a bunch of that. I mean, I was studying sheep, modern sheep and genetics this morning. Well,
of course you were. I mean, that's what you do.
That's crazy.
That's what I do in my
So was I. I mean, so what? You know, that's what we're all doing. Oh, that's amazing, actually.
Well, it's the Lord. It's just where we're going. Okay. So let's talk. Let's talk sheep and shepherds.
Okay, let's go through this thing. So we're going to start off Psalms 23. Guys, buckle your seat belts. If you got a Bible, bust out your word. Pray through this with me, and I want to see you know how it starts. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I want to stop right there, and I want to say this from just right there. Is it okay with you
Absolutely.
Guys?
Yeah.
We'll just start going
it's
through this.
Time.
So here's my, you guys buzz me. If I talk more than a minute, then you buzz me. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Bam. All right, when King David put this thing together, he's like, okay, the spirit of prophecy comes upon him, and he is tripping out because he sees this prophetic word for him to give, this beautiful song for him to sing, and he wants to do it from the from the perception of a sheep. Okay, who did that? Who does that? I'm going to show you the heart of Jesus. I'm going to show you the heart of a man that follows Jesus 1,000 years before Jesus is born, but I want to do it as if I am an animal. Okay, that's like that song that the old steel drivers used to sing that I love with all my heart, and it's from the perception of a tree in the midst of a Civil War battlefield. Like, that's what were you guys smoking when you did that? And this brother comes out with the perception of, I'm a sheep who has a shepherd. All right, Brian.
Talking about some artists, me and my boy were looking at some different musicians and poets and just artists in general. My wife goes on Saturdays and actually uses pots, makes pots of clay. You know what I mean? On the wheel and all that.
Yeah.
And it's all these hippies in town that are there doing all this art.
Right on.
And they're so beautiful and so gifted and do stuff like what you're talking about, right? They see things from a sheep's perspective or this or that. We're going to ride it like David. And I was talking to my boy, and I'm like, listen, artists make the world beautiful. And Brewer, you're an artist. You're a musician. You got a prophetic edge. You got poetry. You're a songwriter. Musicians and poetic people, artists have to be filled with the Spirit of God.
Come on.
Because the release of that art really is a coping mechanism because they live life different than anybody else. They're out of a different part of their brain, nervous system, all of that. And apart from the Spirit of God, they self-destruct. But if we can redeem the artist and redeem the psalmist and redeem the poet, I mean, I was always attracted to poetry as a kid. As a kid, I read Edgar Allan Poe, which was dark poetry, like every day. But that has to be redeemed, and David got redeemed. And this is that part of David. It's David the psalmist, right? You see David as a son, David as a soldier, David as a sovereign, David as a sinner, David as a shepherd, David as a sage.
Let's go.
And David as a psalmist. So now
Let's
we're looking
go.
At the sage and the psalmist, which
Let's
would
go.
Be prophetic wisdom and also psalmist. And the spirit of prophecy comes upon David. David starts to give it. All right, back at you. It's your
Gosh,
turn.
Gosh, oh, body, that's awesome. All right, so Pastor Ron, what do you got? You got 1 minute. Let's go.
1 minute, yeah. The Lord is my shepherd. We teach this with all of our students all the time. You can spend your time saying things that you're not, or you can tell people what you are
Come on.
And what you actually have. So instead of David going through all this list of all these people that are not his shepherd, he's also saying, I'm not even my own shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's huge ownership. And he's saying, I'm not even gonna trust me to shepherd myself. And then I shall not want. So the Lord's my shepherd. Another translation says, I have all that I need. which means if I need anything, my shepherd is going to provide it.
Come on.
Okay. You know what? Let's go ahead. So no buzzer for this one. Okay. So Pastor Ryan, so check this out. We were talking about this morning, you were talking about, because this ties into John chapter 10.
Yes.
And I don't know if you guys have ever tied in Psalms 23 and John chapter 10 together, but man, you need to look at those things through a parallel. You need to put them up beside each other because it's mind-blowing how awesome it is. You and I were talking this morning while I was drinking my coffee. You and I were talking and you said, we are not shepherdless. So according to John 10, what does John 10 say? Go ahead.
Whenever Jesus says that I am the good shepherd, I know them.
Yep.
And they follow me in that order.
Yep.
So we listen for his voice first. There's a whole bunch of videos out there that you can see where people will go up to a sheepfold and try to call the sheep.
Yes.
And they don't even flinch.
Yes.
But as soon as the shepherd goes up and says, the whole flock will turn and come straight to him. So you hear him first, right? Then he knows you, and then you follow him.
Pastor Brian Gibson, what do you got?
Yeah, well, I like that you shall not want. Yeah. Let's just take a moment and thank God for his provision.
Oh, we love you, Jesus.
Right? You know, God's providing so much for all of us and for what you're doing right now, Pastor Troy, reaching kids, helping kids. What is that? That's a shepherd's heart, and that's because you got a good shepherd that you drink coffee with every morning, and that heart pours out into the world. And you know what? Jesus calls kids, and then he'll pay for it. He'll take care of it. He'll fund it. You're never going to want. And so God is so extravagant and generous and glorious. His blessings coming upon us and even increasing right now. Tell you what, I really sense a great season of increase where God just wants to show how beautiful and glorious and what a loving father is and how he takes care of his own. And I just want to encourage some people, never apologize for what the shepherd has done for you. Right? The good shepherd laid down his life for a sheep. So you don't have to want, you don't have to need, you don't have to be kicked around. You have to be poor. So don't make any apologies for the blessing of God on your life. And if somebody tries to pin you for having something or going too far too fast, you just tell them, next time you see me, I'll be richer because the Lord is my shepherd. That's what you tell them. You don't have to put up with that spirit of poverty.
Let's go. Okay, how do you know, Pastor Ryan, when someone does not have a shepherd, what does Jesus say?
Yeah, so Jesus says in Matthew 9:36, he says that he saw the crowds, he saw the people, and he saw that they were sheep without a shepherd. And he mentions two words specifically. He says they were confused and helpless.
Confused and helpless.
So in Matthew 9:36, if you start hearing yourself talk and it's a lot of confusion language, the Lord is your shepherd, but if confusion language comes out, you just cry out for your shepherd. The minute you start feeling confused about something, the Lord is my shepherd. The minute you start feeling hopeless about something, you're a hope guy.
You carry
a great message on hope. That's the whole redemption thing.
I'm a hope fanatic.
But if you start listening to your voice come up, right?
Yep.
We want to hear the shepherd's voice. Because we know him, we're going to follow him, but our voice doesn't need to be the loudest voice. I don't need the loudest voice in my life to be mine.
Come on.
And I don't need it to be yours. I don't need it to be Rebecca's. And I don't need to be the loudest voice in your life.
That's right.
I need to point you back, be like, PT, the loudest voice in your life, you are not without a shepherd.
Pastor,
Jesus says those two things. So if you have a church that's confused and helpless, it's like, y'all have a shepherd.
Yeah.
If there's a business that's confused and helpless, you have a shepherd. If there's a family that's feeling confused or helpless, it's okay. That's normal.
Gosh.
Jesus sees it and he says, you have a shepherd. We got to remember that.
Pastor Brian Gibson, what do you got?
Yeah, you know, there's a problem sheep get. It's called a cast sheep. All right. It's a sheep that gets on its back and it can't right itself. It's like a fat boy down on the beach.
Yeah, I've been in that position many times.
You know, I'm falling, I can't get up. And all right, if they stay on their back long enough, they'll bloat and it kills them. Gas literally fills up their stomach starts to expand, the sheep will bloat. And so what it takes to right this cast sheep is a shepherd or somebody has to come and turn that thing around, all right? Get it flipped right side up. What do we do as shepherds? We show people, hey, not that way. You're going the wrong way. Come on, I got a rod and a staff. I'm going to show you the way to go, and I'm going to get you back up on your feet. And really, when you turn something around, you right-size it. Joseph Z says that all the time. We're going to right-size something. What are we doing? We're helping them repent, get back up on their feet, dust it off, shake it off. Come on, let's get it going the right direction because we don't want to be bloated. And also, if you lay there too long, you get bloated, you're no good. You don't help produce anything in the body of Christ. So listen, God wants to right-size you, wants to get you back on your feet, wants to get all that hot air out of you and get you doing God's will. And that's what the shepherd is for.
Okay, that's pretty daggum. That's good stuff. And we hadn't even got off verse one. You know, he's writing down, hey, don't forget about Ezekiel 34 and what it means to be a bad shepherd. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, just in that example that Pastor Brian said, you know, there are shepherds out there, they would see that and be like, that's going to cost me too much.
Yep.
I'm not going to get dirty in that mess and flip them over. Or like, hey, these sheep are behaving really well. I'm going to give them my time. Ezekiel 34 is some strong language. You go and read that, and the Lord is literally evaluating the shepherds of that time. And there, that's a whole justice vein, too, where it's like, hey, the justice is coming for these shepherds who have said they're going to take care of it, and they're not.
Dang. I honestly do not know what
Ezekiel
34 says.
We're in verse 1.
I know. So I'm going to go, and I'm going to look at Ezekiel 34. So let's go to verse 2. Pastor Brian, you ready to go to verse 2?
Yeah.
Okay, so verse 2 says, and of course, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And here we go. So, okay, here we go. All right, you go first. You go.
Oh, no. You're up, right? You're up. I don't want to get in the way of the man of God.
My God. Boy.
This goes 1, 2, 3, just like the book of Job, right? friend 1, friend 2, friend 3.
Okay, man. So I've been thinking a lot and been talking a lot with Pastor Ryan about this verse because I was watching last week. I was watching, what's the name of that
Caesar
dog?
Caesar Milan.
You know who Caesar Milan is? You know
the dog whisperer?
The dog whisperer guy. He's a guy, he's got all those videos. Pastor Brian, that he's got all those videos of the, would you put him back up there for me, please?
Oh, I know. The people that won't discipline their dogs.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Bunch of knuckleheads, man. Yeah. My dog's out of control and I don't know what to do. Boy, I do. I know what to do. But anyway, and he goes and he just tightens them up, right? And that's what he does. And he's fearless about it. And he's anointed for it. And it's really cool. I like the cat. I'd like to spend some time talking to him because I've got so much sermon material out of watching him. But he's got this dog. Well, my dog is aggressive, and yeah, I love my dog, but my dog bites people, and yada yada yada. Well, this dog went to bite him. He just grabbed a hold of this big old dog and put it and made him lay down. Made him lay down and went, no, that's not how we're going to act. I'm going to show you my dominance, and you're going to understand this until you become so aware of me. You sit just because you're aware. You stand because you're aware, and you will be taught first by how to lay down. See, your face is on the floor, and it's going to just stay there. And I'm going to let up, and as soon as you show any form of aggression, and you're not with the program, I'm going to make you lay down. When it says he makes me lay down, he makes me lay down in good places, but he will make you lay down. You start getting out of line. King David, the first thing he says is about his shepherd is he makes me to lay down. Which is crazy. I mean, think about all the attributes. So he had a lot of run-ins with his shepherd. And he knew he was wild. And he knew that the Lord wouldn't allow him to be wild. He says, no, this is the place where you need to be. And you will lay down here. Boom. What do you got?
100%. That's God getting David the center right under the bit and the bridle and getting him under control.
That's right.
Sometimes some horses are wild enough. I mean, you got to put something on them to break them.
Yeah,
and I was raised helping my older brother break roping horses. And I know what it is to break a strong-willed animal. And somebody's got to be in authority and somebody has to be in charge. But here's what I want you to know. The shepherd doesn't just get off on being in charge.
That's right.
He didn't just want to put you in your place. He's trying to protect you. Right? He makes you lay down, like Pastor Troy said, in a good place. My little boy is driving now. He's 16. Right,
oh,
I got
boy.
My baby's 14 now, so I'm like praying. I'm praying even, I'm praying the rosary. I'm anointed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even Catholic.
You're not even Catholic. You don't care. You're racing for anything, man, once your kids start driving.
it's crazy. But when he was a baby, we had this crib, and he could crawl out of anything.
Yep.
Right? He just had Jungle Gym strength, could pull himself up when he's like 1 year old and escape. So I bought this. I don't even think they have them anymore. They may be illegal now, but like this baby net that went over the top of the crib.
Yep.
Zipped it up like a tent.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll never forget, I rigged it up the first night. He's watching me. He's in the room with me. And then as soon as I put him in there and zipped it, he falls on his back and just screams at the top, wanted to kill his party.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't want him sneaking out of the house. I'd go out in the kitchen. He looked like a guy had been out in Vegas all night, like with stuff all around him. He'd break out, you know what I mean? Look like a drunk frat boy.
Yeah.
At 6 a.m, tore the house up. I'm like, no, I'm protecting you. You're going to lay down here. Listen, it's his discipline and even him putting you down
It's for your own good.
Yeah, that's right? First thing he says. I want to tell you this. I'm deviate here, but it goes with what we're talking about. My daddy passed away 5 years ago, and my dad was my best friend on the planet Earth, and we had just this crazy cool relationship. Stupid. I mean, like a really ridiculous relationship, a ridiculous father-son relationship. But daddy was very little like me. I was very little like him. Dad was timid. My dad was not a strong character. My dad was an entertainer. My dad was funny. My daddy was everybody's best friend. And I am that. I got that from my dad. But I also get stuff done. And he was on his deathbed, and he was staying with me out at the ranch. He died in my house, and we were hanging out there. And one of the last conversations we ever had, he said, "Troy, do you know how I learned you could walk?" And I said, "What?" He said, "Oh, yeah." He goes, "It wasn't like you took one step in front of me, and we all clapped." "No, no, no." He said, "There was a knock on the door." And the knock on the door, and there was the neighbor lady was holding you. And he said, "From the second you figured out you could walk, you didn't show us, you started watching that door and you figured out how to open that door, because the second you knew that you could walk, you were like, I'm out and I'm going to the next place." And he said, it terrified me. It terrified me. It terrified your mama. We were like, what kind of a child is this that hides that he can walk so that he can get out of the house and walk down the freaking road because he wants to see what's down there? He's like, we thought, man, we got our hands full with this brother. And brother, he did. And I was made to lay down.
You got places to go.
I was made to lay down. And I had that zip thing over my bed. Even when I was in a bunk bed, when I was 5 and 6 and 7 years old, they would zip me in so that I wouldn't escape the house and go walk, because I wanted to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And I know that verse. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Amen. He leads me beside the still waters. All right, Pastor Ryan, I didn't let you go, man. You go.
Yeah, Ezekiel 34, it's literally verse 11 through 24 is all about the good shepherd. And he says in Ezekiel 34, "I myself will tend my sheep and give them a place to lie down in peace, says the sovereign Lord.
Come on.
I will bring them safely home again, those who strayed away. I will feed them. Yes, I'll feed them justice." So the Lord's gonna make you lie down whenever it's time that you've gotten too weak that you do not need to keep going. You know that it's time to lay it's time that for him to lay you down whenever you're not just hurt, you're actually injured. Because we can do ministry hurt all the time, but doing ministry injured is incredibly different. I've heard some of Brian's testimony, like whenever you realize you're injured and not hurt, it is time for you to totally lay down.
Oh, I heard him do that too.
Yeah. What person's trying to recover at the hospital? If you get up at the hospital and try to walk around, they'll lay you down in a big way. The one thing I'll say, and Pastor Brian, I think you've got some experience this with pastoring over the years. Verse one is what qualifies you for verse two. Like the experience for him to lay you down and lead you, that's on the other side. that's on the other side of you making that personal declaration. The Lord is my shepherd. Him laying people down that are not his, that's not going to make as much sense to me. But the relationship that we have with him, whenever we say he's my shepherd, the minute we say that, he's like, okay, now I can make you lay down. Now I can lead you. But the minute you say you're your own shepherd, the minute you say you think you've got it figured out, it's all resistance. The Lord's only made me lay down whenever I've put resistance. That's why he has to make me do it. Oh, wow. I'm resisting him on some level.
Mm-hmm. Hey, can we just come before the King as our shepherd? Pastor Brian, can we do that, man? Yeah. And there's thousands of people watching all over the world. I mean, we have a huge audience today, and they're watching in multiple nations all over the world. Man, lead us in that. Lead us in some kind of a prayer about that. And let's all rededicate the fact that we want Jesus to be our shepherd, and we know he is. And verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and all of them, they belong to us because he is our shepherd.
Amen. Amen, Pastor. I really sense a strong leading of the Lord coming to people watching right now.
Wow. Come on.
Some of you, and there's a lot of you that feel like I'm familiar with God and I've known his voice in the past, but I don't feel like I'm that close to the shepherd right now. I feel like I'm looking for God, There's people looking for God on YouTube right now, but God doesn't just want you looking for him on YouTube. He wants to invade your space and shepherd every area of your life. And I really feel the shepherd coming in power.
Come on.
And I really feel the staff and the rod leading, correcting, and protecting. And right now we're going to go to him. So I want you to reach your heart out by faith. Because, come on, we need him to take us by the right hand, lead us, saying to us, fear not. So, Lord, right now we come to you. Lord, we thank you that you are Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, our shepherd. Lord, that you lead us, you guide us, you take us, Father, into good places, places that are full of your abundance. That the grass is there. That right now I pray for divine leadership. I thank you that these people hear the voice of the good shepherd. I declare a prophetic ear. I declare a prophetic eye. I declare a prophetic sense of who you are and where you're going. You're not alone. You're not walking alone or living alone or talking alone. There is a shepherd who is with you. And even though you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to be afraid. You got a God with you and a God in you. And a God that loves you more than you love yourself. He even knows the numbers of the hairs on your head. And he's taking you to a place called the best. So I declare promised land living over everybody watching.
Jesus.
I declare water. I declare the best grass. I declare that you're thriving. I prophesy that you prosper, you succeed, you achieve in every area of your life. And Lord, we declare we submit ourselves.
Come on.
Come on, right now, right where you are, you'll lift a hand to heaven. That's the international sign of surrender. I submit my life to the shepherd. I submit my life to the shepherd. I submit my life to the shepherd.
Yes.
Afresh and anew today. Lead me, King Jesus. Hey.
He'll honor that.
Yeah, he'll honor that. I love that. So golly, good. Man, we all feel the Lord in such a cool way.
So good.
And we just say yes. We say yes.
Amen.
We say yes. Well, we got through two verses.
That's good for us. That's actually really good
for us. For three preachers, that's a miracle. That's parting the Red Sea.
Yeah, man, that ain't bad. Hey, listen, if you are rededicating King Jesus as your shepherd, I want you to type it out. Mm-hmm. I want you to say, if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook or X or Instagram or on ODX, go into the chat right now and say, Jesus is my shepherd.
Yep.
Some of you have already been doing that, including our friends down in Australia. I saw somebody say that a while ago. That's crazy cool. And I love that. And so do that. I double dog dare you guys to do that. Pastor Brian, speaking of all this stuff, and Shay is here with me, and we did a post about, I don't know, probably 55 hours ago. We did a post just on Facebook. I was up late the night before last, and I got word from the Dominican Republic that we just rescued eight more slaves. And I don't ever post the pictures of the jokers that we arrest. I always make a big deal out of the redemption of the children that we're actually raising, right? And the mamas that we set up for life and those kinds of things. But I want to tell you, I put those pictures on there, and it took off. Yeah, here's the post we did, and there's the post. Good job in pulling that up. Mm-hmm. And by the way, look at those beds, brother, that these innocent human beings were forced to sleep on and prostitute their bodies over and over and over again. And look at these jokers being forced to lay down. Hallelujah. And fixing to go to the Dominican Republic prison.
You better stop.
And praise God that I don't rule the Dominican Republic, because I would get me a mulcher, which I would call a pedophile processor, is what I would do. But these guys are going to go under the bus. We put that on there, and we've had like 1.3 million views of that, and untold hundreds of thousands of shares. Help me out. What are the numbers on that crazy thing?
Yeah, let me actually look right now. Hold on.
Today's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are our pictures.
Yeah, those are our pictures.
What I'm saying. People are seeing that and be like, oh.
Yeah, and they're saying, really? Okay. So I'm scrolling down to the Pastor Brian, right, I just take it for granted. Go ahead and put him on here with me, buddy. I just take it for granted that people understand what I'm saying, that we work with the prosecuting attorneys We actually hire the operators, and then we work with the attorney generals. I assume that the world understands the hell that we are involved in. And I've got a ton of hate mail over this. I'm talking about thousands of people saying, I hope you die. You know, how dare you do this? I bet you you're a pedophile yourself. I bet you you're molesting these kids. Mm-hmm. I bet you, you know, and we've had, I mean, my stuff is blown up with hatred and with people shaking their head going, is this real? Is this thing actually taking place? What do you say to that? What do you?
Come on.
I want to hear what you
do. Do you really want me to say Troy? Faster.
I do.
Listen, the scumbuckets that write that kind of stuff on our post, what I say to you is come and take it.
That's exactly
all right.
Come on.
Because you don't know who we are, and you don't understand the God we work for, and you don't understand the kind of hell men and women of God wade through to bring not social justice, I hate that term, kingdom justice. Kingdom.
Come on.
Right? Yeah. Kingdom justice is real justice. And listen, there's a lot of people out there that think we always have to talk nice to these kind of people.
That's right.
You don't.
We do not.
Right? We lead the sheep, we feed the sheep, we kill the wolves, and we kick the dogs.
That's exactly right.
And the dogs bark. They don't produce anything. They're not feeding anybody. There's a time to kick them. So I punch back. When they punch me, I punch back. All right? Because I'm dealing with a different class of person, and these people are wolves.
Mm. Yeah.
And it is real. And it is dangerous, and a lot of the normal world, Pastor Troy, doesn't understand the kind of things that people... I've been involved in this kind of ministry, too, and I've been involved for 20 years, and I know the kind of places and the things that come after you, and I'm thankful for somebody that'll do this, and for the guys calling you that stuff online, they can go to hell, and I'll go to Texas. That's all I got.
That's exactly right, Davy Crockett. And listen, man, me and you are two peas in a pod when it comes to this. Like, I don't think that I will take that nicely. And don't think that because I'm a pastor, I got to be nice. I don't have to be nice. I got to be kind. And let me tell you, I've never rescued a single child by being nice. Mm-hmm. Not once. And so I know what kindness is. Kindness sometimes is kicking down the door and knocking somebody's teeth out and saying, we're not going to allow you to do this anymore. Brother, I got to go. I got to go right now, and I'm so fired up, and I want to continue talking to you. I love you. Bro, you got to be on my show more often.
See you this weekend.
Sunday. Yeah. Sunday, well, yeah. I'm preaching for you on Sunday.
So you are going to be here this coming Sunday. And oh, brother, I want to invite everybody to Open Door Church. Come out and see this yahoo. We're both going to be on the same stage because I'm supposed to be in Uganda, and the United States will not allow us back in the nation because of the Ebola threat. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess we'll have to do something. So Pastor Brian Gibson is going to be with us 9:00 and 11:30. Mm-hmm. And I bet you I can talk him into being at the overflow third service, which is nothing but altars and baptisms and whatever madness happens in the power of the Holy Ghost. So I can't wait to see you. I love you. I bless you. Thank you for joining us here today.
Hey, love you, Pastor. Love what you an guys. Honor. Stay out of trouble.
Oh, probably not. God bless you, buddy.
Bless y'all.
Wow, come on.
So good.
All right, guys, listen. Good. Follow him. Go to his website. Mm-hmm. Look up Pastor Brian Gibson. There it is right there. His church. There it is. And it's got a weird, is it CC?
Yep.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what that stands for. I'm thinking all kinds of wild things. But anyway, hischurch.cc. Follow this brother, support this brother, be a part of his ministry, pray for him. He is a frontline kind of guy. He takes on all things woke, and everybody, and the woke crowd hates his guts because he is the friend of King Jesus. Mm-hmm. All right. I know we got to go.
We got to go.
And in 4 minutes, I'm going to be on another show.
Exactly. And let me just say before we go, guys, if you are a subscriber on our YouTube or a member on our YouTube page, then be looking over there in just a few minutes because we're going to do something really exclusive for our YouTube members only during Troy's interview coming up in 4 minutes, guys. So we will see you next time. We'll see you next week. If you're a YouTube member, then we'll see you in just a few minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
God bless you guys. I love y'all. I'll see you here tonight. I'm going to be preaching tonight, and I'm finishing up my Justice League sermon series. I'm finishing up here tonight. I'm going to be praying for everybody. It's going to be a hootenanny. Be here at Open Door. Then highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye, y'all.